So you broke a you felt like you jammed your finger the other day, Nate, huh?
Yeah, I did. Anyway.
All right. Hey, welcome in to Drive. Nate and I have had this running conversation the entire morning that just basically is like, oh, it's 6:01. By the way, Sharif Jewelers says hello and happy holidays to you.
Yeah, they do.
Please check them out at sharifjewelers.com. Welcome in. We just had this running conversation. And honestly, usually I bitch about how when one of Nate or Katie are gone, I get deluged with the conversations that they usually have with each other. But in today's case, you know, man, there's no way for me to say this without sounding like an a-hole. But honestly, we've been having this fantastic running conversation, Katie Christensen in Boston, this entire morning that just basically rolled into the show, which I think is a good thing. I like that. You know, you have 3 hours where you go public with your conversation, but the conversation continues before and after. Katie, we were talking politics. We were talking about the evolution of social media. We were talking about Rasheed Wallace and Kevin Garnett talking about the water situation in Flint, Michigan.
And only one of us did drugs this morning, Dave.
And only one of us what?
Only one of us did drugs this morning.
I know, but you've got tomorrow. You can catch up to me, buddy. Hi, Katie.
Good morning, you guys.
Hey, Katie.
How are you, dear?
I'm fantastic. How are you boys?
Oh, it's Friday, and we have
I heard a Nate stretch, so you just saw a bunch of body hair, didn't you?
I was stretching my vocal cords, Katie.
Kind of George Takei right there, who, California Hall of Fame. He was just
that's
here.
That's right.
Along with Harrison Ford the other night. Harrison Ford said, you know, I wasn't born here, but I've paid a lot of taxes here, and it was well worth it. The quote of the night. How's Boston, Katie?
It's cold, man. I'm not going to lie.
Cold out here, too.
Yeah, right. It's nothing like this. I don't want to look at what the temperature is here.
Topper.
Yeah, whatever. Boston's colder than Sacramento.
What do you got? I got. This is probably wrong. I got 42 degrees here on my phone.
42, Katie.
Yeah, I was.
You could probably beat that.
I was out grabbing coffee this morning, and I was thinking, man, who would want to live here in the winter? And then I thought, well, yeah, I lived in New York for a winter, so it's really no different. So I've got a little of that crazy in me, too.
What was the temperature here, Nate?
42 degrees.
What's the temperature currently in Boston, Nate?
42 degrees.
I'm telling you, man, it's not even close to the same. It's like a... It's just
a colder 42.
It's a different feel because I'm just done. I'm done talking.
You lose.
You've been gone too long. We miss you.
We do.
It's really windy here, and the wind coming off the water gives it a little bit of a
wind chill,
icy feel. If you catch my drift.
Well, I've got gusts at about 16 miles an hour in Boston, 12 to 15 here in Sacramento.
Wow. Oh, my God. Put your weather app away, you nerd.
64% humidity in Boston. Meanwhile, here in California, it's 67% humidity.
Wait.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, it's so cold in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, at least you get a B in Boston. Well, wait. Did I just rip on Sacramento? Yeah, dang it.
Yeah, you know, this is.
Yes, I did.
Dang it.
I love Nate. I love Grant for this, too. Grant, because they were in Boston early because of the Philadelphia debacle. So they were there. They got in there the night before last. Grant decided to go to New York, where he did his show yesterday.
He's always planning to do that. I mean, we technically got in just like maybe a couple hours earlier than we would have had the game been played. But we were, you know, kind of waiting around because our plane was delayed leaving Philly because it was grounded in Newark because of weather delays. So we waited a couple hours at the arena and we're kind of on the bus getting ready to go. And we're like, yeah, Grant, you know, are you coming? I'm not going to Boston. I don't go to Boston.
No
way. I don't go to Boston unless I have to go to Boston.
I love it. I you know, say what you want about Grant. He is an absolute fan of what he's a fan of, and he doesn't screw around. I'm not going to Boston. I will go to Boston for the exact amount of time I have to go to Boston. Then I'm getting out of there. Hates it.
That's so the New York fan in him.
Yeah. So what does he do? Like, how far does he fly from New York to
Boston?
He
just drives down.
How far is the drive? Isn't it like 2.5, 3 hours? I don't know.
worth it to him?
You know, I don't know. Maybe you can get out your handy phone that you've been using all morning
Maybe
to be smarter than everybody else. but no, I don't know. I didn't ask him for his itinerary, so I'm not 100% sure.
Get with it.
You know what, Katie, that is an excellent.
Could you imagine if I asked Grant for his itinerary when he would be returning? What's your plans? How are you getting here? What are you writing a book?
I'm really
good. What are you writing a book?
I'm going to
Christensen.
Take a chance here for a second here. Let's say you said
it's almost a 4-hour drive.
Pot me up there, whoever you are, Matt Jordan
guy.
In the other room. Let's see here. I'm trying to dial out.
Dude, Dave, I can't believe you didn't get my. What are you writing a book?
No, I did. I was just focusing on. Is it? Are the phone
it's a joke, Dave?
Is the phone potted?
No, it's a joke involving our producer, Mr. Kevin Sharetz.
Oh, I thought because Grant would say something.
What are you writing a book, Sharetz?
Oh, I gotcha. Why can't I? There we
there
go.
There it is. Hi.
All right, dude.
Are you calling Grant?
Yes.
Yeah, oh,
it.
Lord.
With his top secret Batman phone.
All right. In all my years, I've never called him live on the air before. So I was
wondering about that.
I've never done this at all. And apparently I can't pull it off either.
You got dial 9 to get out.
Yeah, I got a dial 9 to get out, right? So here we go. All right. I hope he doesn't get mad. I hope he doesn't do something where he's like, don't ever do that again. Hey, ever bring me on the air without any notice? What are you thinking?
Wow.
What's wrong with you?
You're gambling right now.
I'm uncomfortable.
I am. I'm totally gambling. It is.
Katie, I'm scared.
I'm scared too.
If Grant got mad at me, he's like one of four people in town that could probably make me cry.
He'd bury you.
Real tears. He's not picking up.
Real tears.
It's like 9 a.m. I know he's awake.
Hey, this.
Okay. He's got to be awake at 9 a.m. Well, then again, maybe he doesn't have to be awake at 9 a.m.
No, I mean, he's got to get back here some way, somehow. I'd imagine that you'd want to do it earlier.
He's probably driving, being safe.
Oh, yes. You're absolutely right. Because one thing we can tell, Grant never talks on the phone in his car. And the way we can tell
Pop
that.
Thinks I'm talking to myself.
I mean, it's not like he has a commercial on our airwaves of him talking on a phone. Hands free, of course.
I mean, I don't know. Like, that's kind of an expensive thing to have a car with a Bluetooth.
I completely agree. I mean, that whole deal with the technology and the Bluetooth and everything. I'm sure he rented a Lexus while he was there. He probably had Rosa Alexis send him a Lexus out there. We only have like 3 minutes left, and I had a question for you guys. Damn it. I screwed this up with
Go
the whole
ahead.
Grant thing. Remember when we were talking to Greg Papa the other day, and I was remarking about Warrior jerseys at my son's basketball practice, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So son had basketball practice again last night, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I went out there, and there was another kid. There was about 15 kids, and they're all second and third graders, so you're talking 8, 9, 10 years old range. Three of them had Warrior jerseys on, two Steph Currys and a Kevin Durant.
Nice.
And I found myself once again just incensed. No Kings jerseys, which, by the way, is going to change next Tuesday when my son's rolling out there in a Kings jersey. so I can't bitch about that.
Isaiah Thomas.
I was part of the problem, right? But I had a real, real problem. Like, I was so close, guys, to actually talking to the parents and just and not being, well, yes, being a total D-bag about it, but not like yelling at them, but just being like, hey, you guys move up here from the Bay Area?
Yeah, like you guys are making the poor kids look bad.
Right. And I want to ask them, like, oh, so how long have you, and I want to ask them the stuff like, you know, oh, man, isn't it Warriors doing so great? Yeah, I'll bet you that's awesome with all the crap you guys have gone through over the years. And just basically work my way to the whole, do you know who Sleepy Floyd is? Can you name for me four Warriors?
Poser.
Right, exactly. I want to embarrass these people, or at the very least, find out if they're legitimate Warrior fans.
Hey, man, if it's the Warriors that got their kids into basketball, what do you care?
So this is the question.
There you go, Nate.
This is where I'm going. So are these parents better parents than me? Because I am knowingly indoctrinating my son. I already have. It's too late. Into a sports religion, which is really what it is. When you become a fan of a team, it is a sports religion. Am I indoctrinating and almost forcing my son to subscribe to a sports religion that in the history of my life has given me 95% pain and 5% happiness? Why would I knowingly do that to my child rather than indoctrinate him into a different sports religion with a church just an hour and a half away from us that currently is rewarding far more.
Yeah, dude, you had your chance.
I mean, I went in thinking these guys are horrible poser parents and their kids are little stupid posers, and I hope they break their ankles.
Whoa.
And then, yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I just said it. I hope little 10-year-olds break their ankles. But then the angel on my shoulder, or the devil, said, bro, what are you talking about? You're the idiot. You're the moron. You're abusing your son this way. You're mentally abusing your son. You know he's going to have more pain than pleasure, and you're putting him through it. You were screwed. You had no choice. You have a choice with your child, and you're choosing to subject him to pain.
Feeding him
propaganda.
You
could break the cycle.
I could. Yes, I could. Then again, I couldn't. There's no way. I mean, everything I'm saying is stupid. Are you kidding me? Of course he's going to be a Kings fan for freaking life. I don't care if you told me right now that they were going to go, oh, for the next 20 years. He'd still be a Kings fan. But does that make me a bad parent? I guess that's today's poll question. Does it make you a bad parent to indoctrinate your son or daughter into
now, just put it the way it is,
losing
man.
Franchise.
Are you a bad parent if your child roots for the Kings? You just asked.
I think the more nuanced part of my question was, are you a bad parent if you basically force your child to root for the same teams you do, even if your teams suck? Because I wish the Kings were better. Will it make it sweeter when they are, I guess? I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know, man.
I feel like life is about a lot of disappointment.
Yeah.
So you may as well just get him on the right track right now so that he understands that, hey, there's going to be plenty of disappointment in life. It's how you handle it. So I think you're doing him a favor.
Well, all right, then.
You're preparing him for being an adult.
I guess he's the Hillary Clinton of sports fans because he's we'll take a break. Poor kid. When we come back, it is the Morning Brew. We've got a Kings game, perhaps. We got LeBron James in the news. And, hey, there was a little bit of football last night. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. That was Darren Collison on some radio show.
Yeah, it wasn't just our
show. That's
us. It was my question.
That's right, Nate's question, everybody. Answered by Isaiah Thomas, or excuse me, by Darren Collison. I got Isaiah Thomas on the brain because I do every time we play Boston. Is Kings in Boston tonight. That's where Katie's at right now. Weather permitting, Kings in Boston, 3 o'clock pregame, 4:30 tip-off right here on KHDK, followed by the Canadiens and the Sharks puck drop at 7:30. Yes, I am still bitter, and we'll talk about this later. And every time the Kings play the Celtics, I look at Isaiah Thomas, much like I would look at my wife if we had divorced 3 years ago and she was now dating Brad Pitt and looking absolutely more phenomenal than she already does. He is the one that got away. He is the ex-girlfriend that we dumped and has gone on to hit the gym, work out, and look fantastic.
Jeez.
Get a couple things done cosmetically, and here we go. That's Isaiah Thomas to me, Katie.
It's always going to be that way for you, Dave. I think that the only thing that's going to help that is therapy. I don't think there's anything I can do to help you there.
No. Or maybe some wins.
No. Hey, just enjoy it. He's a good player.
He's a great player.
Yeah,
there's a crisis
I'm
in Boston because Brad Stevens is coaching for his job tonight.
Isn't he coaching for his job every night?
You're so crazy, Nate.
Well, I mean, what do you say, man? The one that got away, we've all got couple or dozen or so.
He booted his ass. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on before I start crying. Let's move on before
He's
I start
He's a good young player.
He is a good young player, damn it.
Wish him success.
I don't.
That would be, I'm assuming, the Dallas radio call from last night. When, Dallas has won their 11th in a row. Good Lord. That was kind of a crazy game. It is a 17-15 win for Dallas beating the Vikings. You guys, Nate, I want to say it was you that said that the Vikings were going to win yesterday. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I thought they were, and they couldn't get it done. There was a big missed call at the end. Dude had both his fists in Sam Bradford's face on the 2-point conversion play. I know. It was nasty. And somehow the officials didn't see it. And I mean, I guess what bugs me is not necessarily the over-officiating in the NFL. It's the lack of consistency. How you miss, you call these weird little ticky-tack things. You call holding on an absurdly high amount of plays. You call stuff that people don't even see, and then when there's something blatant like that with the game on the line, you miss it. And I'm not saying they did it on purpose, but there's a huge problem there. It drives me crazy. Well, it was a good game, but
is it any different than
Sam Bradford? Get rid of the sleeves, dude. You look like a dork.
Yeah, Katie.
I'm just sorry.
Is it any different than in basketball when the last couple minutes of a game, they're not really going to call anything unless you're taking someone's head off?
Well, I mean, he kind of did almost take his head off.
I mean, Katie, I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's
a good point.
Right.
Because it's something I talked about with my brother last night. You got in basketball and baseball, there's the officials have a sense of the flow of the game. And, you know, umpires have their own strike zone because it's kind of this nebulous thing that you have to create yourself. Mm-hmm. Officials in basketball officiate the game in front of them and what the players are doing. There's no sense of the game with NFL officials. There's kind of this choppy lack of rhythm. They don't keep things moving, and it hurts the sport.
People say at the end of a ball game, let the players play. And I have a serious problem with that. And this is a little millennial-ish of me because I know that's a big deal with the younger crowd there is a foul in the first quarter should be a foul in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. A foul is a foul is a foul is a strike, is a late hit, is pass interference.
Right.
Is a foul.
All you ask for is consistency.
That's all you ask for. And when people talk about, which drives me nuts, having robots starting to officiate games, that's like the one thing they can hang their hats on is that lack of emotion. I don't want the refs to turn the other way in the fourth quarter of a tightly contested basketball game and let people beat each other up. I want the players to understand that if they hack a guy in the first quarter and get called for a foul, that same hacking in the fourth quarter is going to get called for a foul, or the opposite, doesn't get called for a foul. Here's that play, by the way, Sam Bradford.
That's LeBron James. He won the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. He becomes only the second person ever to win it twice, joining Eldrick Woods.
This is another guy that you snark at all the time, LeBron, that I absolutely love. I have a love affair with LeBron James. He's certainly not perfect, but I like him. I like him off the floor. I like him on the floor. I think he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and I also very much admire, although he's done some screwy things, I like that he has sent a ton of kids to college. I like what his foundation does, and I've really like that he took a guy who was selling jerseys in Atlanta out of his trunk and brought him into his inner circle along with guys like Maverick Carter and now I keep wanting to call him Chris Paul, his agents.
Rich Paul,
thank you, is one of the most powerful people in all of sports. I like that. I like everything about LeBron James.
What's a guy's last name?
Rich Paul?
Yeah.
Rich Paul. Rich Paul Jones. Well done.
If you don't like LeBron and you can't appreciate him as the athlete that he is, something's completely wrong with you. My thing is, congratulations.
Nate.
Second time you've got Sportsman of the Year. Whoop-de-doo. I'm sure it doesn't matter that much to him because those awards are a little bit, you know, for other people, I think. But I'm like, hey, you know what? You got your hairline fixed. Oh, it's coming back.
It is.
I'm like, now I just need you to go get some Botox because those lines in your forehead. He's aging.
His appearance is not show fodder.
You know, and this is exactly.
Hey,
thank you very much.
It absolutely is.
I mean, we don't allow people to say that about sideline
Bigfoot
reporters.
Bigfoot over there.
And, hey, you know, which one of you jerks decided that I hate LeBron James anyway?
I think I started the rumor.
You just did. Whatever.
I just assume that if an athlete is insanely successful and has a phenomenal public persona, that you hate him.
No, I mean, you know.
That's
Tim
not
Tebow,
fair.
J.J. Watt, LeBron James.
How dare you put LeBron James in with those two frauds?
We'll take a break. On the way back, let's get into the show. Kings in Boston taking on the Celtics. We'll hear from Dave Yeager. We'll talk about how sad it is to see Isaiah Thomas doing fun things for Boston. And is DeMarcus Cousins ever going to end up a Celtic? We'll talk about that next on the Tribe.
Dave.
I don't have an answer for you, so there's your tease. Sports 1140 KHDK. Listen to Grant and Doug. I don't like the way this promo is written because, and I know I'm nitpicking, but it says listen to Grant and Doug every weekday from now to December 12th between 4:30 and 5. And I say, if you're not listening to them from 3 to 7, you're missing out. You're missing out on the deal. They're fantastic. But put your big giant Dumbo ears on from 4:30 to 5 and be part of the 13 Jeez. Days.
That's offensive to me.
Of Christy. Oh. Win a noble fir Christmas tree from Green Acres Nursery and Supply, plus a pair of Kings tickets courtesy of Doug Christy and Sports 1140. You will also be qualified to win the grand prize December 13th. You get Doug Christy and the crew to deliver and decorate the tree December 17th, and they're going to feed you and all your family and friends. The grand prize winner also gets upgraded at a Kings game to Christy Lane. which Nate and I were having a conversation about what Christy Lane, you know. Anyways, Green Acres Nursery and Supplies.
I Googled her once.
Exactly. It's a proud partner of 13 Days of Christmas. For contest info, khtk.com.
You know what? That's something that I wish that I could participate in because this is really sad. Yeah, no, Dave. Put it away.
What?
Okay.
Whoa.
Put that nasty mind away.
Hey.
No, like I love Christmas and I love Green Acres, right? Like you can attest to this, Dave. Like I go to Green Acres all the time and I'm kind of sad because I normally plant a summer and a winter garden. And because I'm traveling so much this year, I didn't plant a winter garden, but I'm also not putting up a Christmas tree.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because I'm not there the whole month of December. So it's like to go and get it. Like I have a fake Christmas tree and to get it out of storage and all this stuff. So I kind of wish that I could win and they could come decorate my house because I feel like, you know, a Scrooge this year.
You look like a Scrooge.
You know, let me put
your
that,
face.
Let me put that in my back pocket because that's not right.
Are
you staying home for Christmas? Will you be home on Christmas Day?
Well, yeah, but like we get back, we come back from a road trip really early on Christmas Eve, and then I have Christmas, and then we have a game the next day, and we're, you know, back at it. So
Christmas Eve day and Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day and Christmas night, you're just going to be in your house barren
Ooh.
Of Christmas?
Yeah, but maybe I'll get like a poinsettia or something.
No.
What, you want to spend Christmas with a flower?
Maybe I'll come to your house.
Well, I was going to say, either come to my house, I assume you were talking to me and not Nate, or go to his house. That's fine. Or give me your keys, and I swear to God, I will go, excuse me, I'm talking about Christmas, shouldn't say swear to God, but I will go get your tree, and I will bring it to your house. Katie, you have to have a tree.
I feel like if I gave you the keys to my house, that you'd go through my drawers.
Well, a couple of things there. First,
don't need keys for that.
Yeah. Number one, there's 18 different ways to take that. Number two, Katie, do you honestly think in all these years I have not searched your entire house?
I know you go through my house. I know you go through my house and like put picture frames upside down.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, do I? Oh, you mean I hide certain picture frames of yours or certain people?
Yeah.
In it? This is actually a true story. She has pictures up of somebody I'm not a huge fan of at her house, and at the last event she had at her house, I hit
turned them all over.
I turned them all over.
Dare you treat her mother like that?
I do it out of love. Kings and Celtics tonight. We'll get back to this at some point, Katie. 10-8 are the Boston Celtics, which is probably a little below where they thought they'd be at this point. 10-8, 3.5 back at Cleveland for the one seed. I don't know why I'm saying that. They have outscored their opponents by 0.6. per game, 105, they're scoring, 104.4, they're giving up. And their last game was against, who the hell was it against? The Pistons. And they lost
the
at
Pistons,
home. Yeah, 121-114. So I guess either one of two things is going to happen here. Either the Kings are the Robitussin of the NBA for Boston, and they're going to help them get back on track tonight, or maybe the Kings are getting Boston, Katie, at the right time when they're a little bit vulnerable.
Well, I don't even look at it that way. And I'll tell you why. I understand what you're saying, but a lot of the reason that Boston is kind of off to a slower start than you would expect with the roster that they have, they've had some injuries. They've had some people that have been out. Al Horford was out for a while. He's back. So to me, it's more about, Jay Crowder. There's been some key people that have had injuries and missed games and had issues, and that makes a difference. So now that they're kind of healthy again, it's a little scary because you know it's just going to take them a few games to kind of figure things out and get into a flow again.
That's it.
So,
right? Oh, I'm sorry, Katie.
Yeah, no. I mean, so I think that's the difference.
We know that they're a good team. I mean, 10-8. And we know that they're a consistent team. And you kind of hit on it, Katie. Like, we know that it's going to be a slow burn for this team, and we'll probably look up at the end of the season, and they will be like the 2 or the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw. Al Horford missed time on paternity leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that always spurs all kinds of hot takes, right? Like, you should be out there. In fact, I think I even did that when I first started once. Was it David Murphy or Daniel Murphy or something? And it's like, come on, man. Like, you can be there to play. And as time goes on, I've realized how stupid of an opinion that is.
Oh, good
but
for
people
you.
Still, but people still like to deliver that every time someone misses for paternity
leave.
Well,
and then his sister got
You're off. Still that's having where, a hard
was,
time.
That's where I was going with this, is that he, like, this guy says that, and his Al Horford's sister just roasted him.
Whom most people thought was his wife, and it was actually his sister on Twitter that just got loose with him. I don't want to do the whole, if you
I
haven't had children,
that.
You don't understand. Oh, you didn't see that?
I didn't see
no,
that.
Yes, his sister got loose a little bit. It was some, I don't know, it was a Boston dumb radio cold taker type of dude, mm-hmm. I think, was saying stuff. Isaiah Thomas is usually pissed off because he's short and he got picked last in the draft, and he has that chip on his shoulder, and good for him. He's going to be pissed off tonight. The NBA announced his players for the month of November. LeBron James in the Eastern Conference, no big surprise. But let's tell you here that Isaiah Thomas is second in scoring in the East behind DeMar DeRozan. His scoring average is up nearly 4 points from last year's season when he was an all-star. His assist numbers are at a career best 6.3, and he's sixth in the NBA in usage rate behind only DeRozan in the East. He was not one of the 9 nominees for player of the month in the East.
What shape is that ball they use in Boston?
What shape is the basketball?
Glare.
Round?
Is it round?
Yeah.
Because Isaiah knows that.
I feel he does. I absolutely feel he does.
Get it up! Get it in the air!
I mean, that's just kind of weird that he...
What a fun player, man. And just to be nostalgic, I remember watching him at Washington and just seeing this little guy that just flies into the lane fearlessly and throws up these shots at crazy angles. You're thinking, like, there's no way that could possibly go in, and they did. And then you start thinking, there's no way that could possibly work at the NBA level where guys are taller and quicker. And then he came to the Kings, and he kept doing it.
Yes. Yes, he did. And he's still doing it.
And he's still better.
Doing it better. 6:42. Hey, you know what? Sharif Jewelers says happy, happy holidays. Check him out online, sharifjewelers.com. When we get back, we'll get into a little bit of football, and we'll tell you why the Oakland Raiders may now be the one seed in reality in the AFC. They may be the new team to beat. We'll tell you exactly why next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. That's Ken Norton Jr. Watch those Raiders take on the Bills with KHDK this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Buffalo Wild Wings, 1168 Galleria Boulevard in Roseville at halftime. Street Team's going to have Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets. That's actually that's something some people might make fun of. Not this guy. I actually want to go. I've never seen the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I'm really into the holidays, so that might be something I might show
it's
up.
It's rad.
There. Is it rad?
It's awesome.
I'll bet it is. Not that I trust your approval necessarily for everything, Matt, because we have different tastes, but in this case, I will. For more info, khtk.com. Katie, have you ever gone and seen them before?
No, I haven't, but you should trust Matt. He's, you know, he's like the resident theatrical person on our show.
I didn't mean
that. I have gone and seen the Nutcracker at Christmas, and that was fantastic.
I didn't mean that in a mean way. I meant that Matt and I have different tastes about certain things, so I got to take it. Yeah. I don't even know why I said that in the first place. That was kind of unnecessarily mean.
You're kind of being a bonehead.
Man. Yeah, man. Sorry, man.
I'm still recovering from the Dumbo comment.
That wasn't directed entirely at you. Here's Ken Norton getting me out of trouble here talking about Tyrod Taylor. He's kind of like Cam Newton, but not as good. Tyrod Taylor. Cam Newton, by the way, dressed up in a beautifully new, clean, and pressed Warriors pullover last night, sitting front row at the Warriors-Rockets game. Yes, he certainly was. And Twitter.
Well, you know, is it because of his friendship with Curry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Well, then
Twitter was having fun showing him in his Warriors pullover and then showing him in his Hornets pullover, and I completely understand that. Either way, if the Raiders could beat the Panthers last week, I feel like they have no business losing to the Buffalo Bills. I think Cam Newton is better than Tyrod Taylor. I think that between guys like Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin and Teddy Ginn Jr., even with Sammy Watkins back, they have a better receiving core. The Bills have more of a threat at running back. Their line's a little bit stacked better. But this is a team that the Raiders should have a challenge against, Katie, but they should ultimately beat.
Well, Sammy Watkins is back, but he had a little bit of a setback this week.
He's still got a broken bone.
Yeah, he played against Jacksonville. He caught three passes for 80 yards in their win over Jacksonville. But he didn't practice on Wednesday because he's still got some lingering soreness in that foot. Stress fracture and that he had surgery on during the offseason. So he's not really 100%. And then if you look at all the other injuries that the Bills have right now, even Tyrod Taylor is on the injury report. He's got a lingering groin issue that he's dealing with. So I think right now, overall, I think the Raiders are healthier than the Bills, and they have a lot more momentum built up right now with five straight wins. I mean, to me, there's no way, and I know we talked about it yesterday, Nate, people are saying this might be an upset game. There's no way in my mind that something bad would have to happen for the Raiders to blow this.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I just, this is I always have trouble betting any sort of game with the Bills, and it doesn't matter who their coach has been or who their quarterback has been or whatever. It just seems like they're kind of always the team that is inconsistent enough on a week-to-week basis that they can win big games and they can lose games that they shouldn't. And what concerns me is that Rex Ryan's teams, they can tend to have a little Jeff Fisher in them, which is, you know what, let's just make this game ugly and let's make it close and hope that one of us makes a mistake at the end and that it's you and that we win.
One final note about the NFL here before we get out of here for the break. Troy Vincent is the NFL Executive Vice President. He told the AP last night the league will hire as many as 17 full-time referees by the start of next season. The additions allowed under the collective bargaining agreement would increase the size of officiating crews from 7 to 8. Expanding replay reviews that will top the agenda the competition committee, which will meet in February. That will also allow the extra official to monitor penalties along the interior line and oversee hits to the quarterback. So you have that piece of news.
Wow.
You also have Dean Spanos of the Chargers expected to exercise his option to move to Los Angeles. Stan Kroenke is a huge fan of that. That will allow him and his Rams to start selling PSLs. They will share the revenue while being responsible for their own season ticket sales. And Mark Davis expected in January to file for relocation to Las Vegas. So some of the pieces are starting
to get
into place exactly in the NFL. I'm fine with them bringing in an extra official. I'm fine with them making officials full time, and that's something we can have a much bigger conversation about today.
No.
And we will. Landry at 7:35. Sam Amick, we won't talk about it with him at 8:05 because he was going to talk basketball. And Andy Benoit, we're giving him another chance at 8:30. He's going to come on because Ken is on assignment today from MMQB. We will take a break when we get back. Your Kings and Boston. We'll also visit a little bit. Golden State wasn't the only team to lose at home last night. How about those Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Clippers? We'll talk about the Clippers getting back on track. Kings first, though. Don't go away on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.